Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-877-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Welcome to Call to Freedom. And you can also contact me by going to Barbara@freedomstreet.org, Kimberly@freedomstreet.org, or hello@freedomstreet.org, or the phone number that he gave you, 1-877-917-7256. And that's good for any kind of question that you have, or even making reservations for the meeting this Saturday. So start each day with a prayer of thanks for the joy you feel when you spend time in God's presence. Even as you get out of bed, when you say, "Oh, Father God, thank you. This is the day that you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." What a wonderful way to start your day. And then you can just bounce out of bed and be in His presence most of the, I know we can't be there all the time, but I'm doing that. I'm aiming for that, getting in His presence and being in His presence all the time. God lets us experience the joys of life and the pleasures of His presence when we think of Him often, and not just that 15 to 20 minutes we read a devotional and there, that's it, and close that book and it's done for the day and now I go on with my duties. No, I don't want to be like that anymore. I was like that, but not anymore. I want to know the fullness of joy, and that's in His presence. That's Psalm 16, verse 11. So in His presence, in God's presence, is fullness of joy. That's what I desire more than anything else. And I know, you know, my children are grown up. They have families of their own. I'm in the later years of my life, and some of you have children, small children at home, and you're just hurrying and scurrying about. Well, I've been there. And I know that the very most important thing in my day, even when the children were getting up from bed and I was needing to get breakfast for them, I woke up earlier so that I could spend some time alone with God. And boy, did it bless my life. And not knowing that my husband John would be gone after only 23 years of marriage, or even that Darren, after I married him and, oh, got involved in the radio, oh, that he would be gone. But God is there. Friend, God is there. He's there with you, ever present, ever living, ever blessing you. So remember that in His presence is fullness of joy. You are blessed to dispense, for in Him you live and move and have your being. And as I said before, this Saturday, January the 10th, is our New Year's fellowship meeting. And we have breakfast at 9:30, and then at 11 o'clock, we have the meeting at my home, and we have music and Bible study. And I hope you'll join us. Call me for reservations, especially for the restaurant, so we know the number when we get to the restaurant. And that is at 9:30 on January 10th. 1-877-917-7256. I hope you join us. It's just a wonderful time to be together, especially at this new year. And our memory verse for this week is Genesis 17, verse 2. I am God Almighty, El Shaddai. Walk before me and be blameless, having integrity and seeking the truth. You are a truth seeker if you're in Jesus Christ. Yes, you are. You want the truth because He is the way, the truth, and the life. And that's why you found Him. You wanted the truth. And so the Bible is that word of God. It says in Proverbs 30, verse 5, every word of God in this book, in this Bible, is tested. It's proven. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Praise the Lord. In the Passion Translation, Genesis 17:2 says, Yahweh appeared to Abram again and said, I am the God who is more than enough, El Shaddai. Live your life in my presence and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you, and I will greatly multiply your descendants. Then Abram fell on his face in awe before God, and God said to him, I establish my covenant with you. You will become a father of many nations. I don't even know where Abram's brain was at that moment. I don't have any children, God, you know that. And you will no longer be named Abram, because I am changing your name to Abraham. And that H, that hum, that Sarah, that's Holy Spirit, friend. That's that wonderful breath of life. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you abundantly fruitful, more than you expect. I will make nations out of you, and kings will trace their lineage back to you. Yes, I will establish my eternal covenant of love between me and you, and I will extend to your descendants throughout their generations my love. I will be your children's God, just as I am God. I will give to you and your seed the land which you have migrated. The entire land of Canaan will be yours. And they were in Canaan was inhabited by seven different nations, and it was not free to take. They had to really walk the miles around Canaan and establish that as their possession. They had to do some fighting. Yep, they did, to get the land free. And just like you saw this last weekend, there was some fighting going on because the threat of countries that were wanting the United States of America to be absolutely dissolved. It's there. It's all ever present. And President Trump is there for our safety. Praise God. I will be your children's God, just as I am your God. And the entire land of Canaan will be yours. God was giving Abram a vision that would propel him into the unseen world and beyond. This was his physical world, and God had just revealed a vision to him. He promised Abram that as El Shaddai, he would keep every promise to Abram. God was giving this obedient man a vision of his future, and that future was filled full of God. God gives many of us visions of our futures, many based on world success and getting out of debt, and others who depend on God and that daily walk to fulfill a plan that God has outlined for them. Here in Genesis 15:1, I just want to read this vision that God had, and it was a vision that Abram received from God. Don't be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward will be great. Abram said, God, Master, what use are your gifts as long as I'm childless and Eliezer of Damascus is going to inherit everything? Abram continued, see, you've given me no children, and now a mere house servant is going to get it all. Then God's message came. Oh, isn't it wonderful? He says, don't worry. Don't fear. When he says that to me, I'm just, oh, I relax in his arms. Don't worry. He won't be your heir. A son from your body will be your heir. Then he took him outside and said, look at the sky. Count the stars. Can you do it? Count your descendants. You're going to have a big family, Abram. And he believed. Verse 6 of Genesis 15 says, and he believed God. God declared him set right with God. That's righteous before him. And as you read Romans 4, you will realize that God counted all of this believing as righteousness. God promised Abram more than what his eyes could see, more than he could imagine. You're seeing it in this world today, in this tiny country of Israel. You see Abraham's vision manifested on this earth. Yes, he asked God how this would happen because he had no children, and he was afraid that Eliezer would inherit everything. But God had a better plan. Oh, hallelujah. And sometimes we just got to step aside from our plans, our dreams, and say, Father God, I want your plan to fit into to be my life. I want to fit into your plans. Praise the Lord. When God told him he would have a son from his own body, Abraham believed him big time. But then the waiting got to be too much for him. He listened to Sarai and took matters into his own hands. He had sex with Sarai's handmaid Hagar. And 9 months later, Ishmael was born. It doesn't even sound good, does it? Ishmael, a wild character of a man. And so many times it's hard for us to wait for the manifestation of our heart cries and prayer requests. We want it now. And some things you're asking for cannot be delivered until that perfect time when it will be the most meaningful. I know I've been through the waiting process, and I've gone ahead of God and learned from the consequences of being presumptuous. I know that. One time, $5,000. I was gone. It was gone. I was presumptuous. I spent it. I was arrogant, too sure of myself, cocky, rude, dominating. And you hate to look at yourself like that, but then I am so blessed because God says it's under the blood. Barbara, it's under the blood. So I'm thanking God every day. I see when you're presumptuous, you fail to observe the limits of what is permitted or failing to think of others. When I have my requests into God, I don't think of people that God loves. Now, there are 8 billion people in this world, and you have people around you that you may be asking for a request, and it is going to be affecting those people around you. God is looking out for everybody, not only you, but everybody else. You know, what will be the outcome for them if my prayer is answered? I only think of my need at the moment. And most of us do. We only think of our need at the moment. And I think back of Darren praying for those 9 years, praying when God told him, would you like to be in the gas and oil business? And he'd never been in the gas and oil business. And he, God worked it out so that he would work with a man from IGS here in Denver. And then he leased him for $10 for these empty, rusty wells in Rock Springs, Wyoming. He didn't even go up. Well, he had gone up to see them. And he waited on God. Oh, God, he waited on you. And we could, you know, I'm saying, oh, Lord, we could have used that money. That spirit of mammon comes rising up its head, its ugly head, many years before the gas came in. We could have used that money, Lord. Really? God has perfect timing, friend. You see, that's man's thinking, not God's. God's thoughts are so many, much more high. How do I say this? God's thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. And you'll find that in Isaiah 55, verse 9. And why do we fight what the Bible says about us instead of what man says about us? I guess we're stupid. Yes, when we let the flesh rule, we're stupid. I can say that. Oh, yesterday the program ended and I was giving you an example of a jar filled with fruit. And you can't pour any more into it. It's filled to the brim. And I used to can peaches and grapes and pears and all of that stuff. Yeah, when the girls were growing up and we were, boy, our kitchen was a mess. And once you fill a jar to the brim, you can't fill it any more. And if you try to, you're going to have a mess on your hands because it's a full jar can't hold any more than what is made for. And it's like we ask God to fill us with revelation knowledge. Take a breath. Revelation knowledge. I need your revelation knowledge, Lord. I need your wisdom. And then our minds have been taken over by the appointments and the list of things we've got to get done that day. I don't want my mind to be so filled with the things of the day that I have nothing left to present to God. And he wants an open and expectant mind to dwell on the things he wants me to experience. And when I'm totally dedicated to listening to Holy Spirit, then my mind has no limitations as to what I can learn, because Holy Spirit goes into the very mind of God for my benefit. So if I have my mind clear and it's free from all the different distractions, then I can freely listen to Holy Spirit inside. Do you believe what I'm saying? I hope you are. As I get prepared in my heart and my mind to receive the things that Holy Spirit wants to teach me, I must quiet myself of all noise and the things that would jerk me back into the physical. That's why it's so important, my friends, to get alone. Have some alone time with God. You become an open vessel for God. You've emptied yourself of all the things that you need to do for the day. Sometimes I make notes so that I'm not trying to think of what I'm going to do after my time with the Lord. I have a little notepad right there in front of me with my Bible. And if something does come up, I write it down. Like if I need to call someone or I need to do something at the post office, I write it down. Because if you don't make notes, your mind will continue to go back to those things you need to do in this world for the day. And yet I know with all my being that I'm a temporary resident on this earth. Jesus is coming back soon, friends. And will he find faith in the Christians on this earth? So many of us are distracted, and I don't want to be that way when he comes. I desire to be an open vessel for God so that he won't be dismissed by my hurriedness and my impatience. As Jonathan Cahn says, the truth is always greater than our knowing. Oh, I know this. I know that. No, the truth of God, the truth of Jesus Christ is always greater than our knowing. Our mind and heart are finite, and the truth has no end. It's infinite. It's always flowing if you allow it to flow. That truth from Holy Spirit is always flowing in you. Do you know that? It's like a river. I mean, the Holy Spirit has been described as a river. And today, if you have any New Year's resolution, I hope it's the Lord. May my heart and mind be yours, Lord God, even if it's for half an hour, so you can instruct me on the things that are really important. And Jesus said something so important. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these trivial things, things that we think are important, but trivial things will be added in good order and at appropriate times. In looking for a song, and I love music, so I'm always looking for a song at the end of a program. And in looking for a song about visions that God has prepared to give us, I came upon an old hymn. It's a simple poem. It was written in the year 433. Yes, 433. And the composer did not know that that poem would become the world famous and be sung by contemporary groups. I want to give you a little background. It happened on Easter Sunday in the year 433, and the Irish king Lungar, who hated Patrick, St. Patrick, and Christianity, sought to kill him. He issued a decree in observation of a pagan Druid festival that prohibited anyone from lighting a flame or candle in the region. And you've heard this on Halloween. I've explained it as a Halloween when the Druids would come and demand things from the people in the villages. And a decree that the king meant was, fell on Resurrection Sunday. Friends, we've had an enemy since Lucifer was cast down to earth from the Garden of Eden. Patrick, refusing to cow to the king and choosing to honor only Christ on Easter, stood against King Lungar. And there was a tug of war going on. Now, this is in Ireland. On Easter morning, Patrick risked his life by climbing to the tallest hill called Slane Hill, and lit a large paschal bonfire, a traditional way of celebrating Easter in the medieval times. Yes, this was the medieval times, oh, so long ago. And maybe it was in commemoration to Abraham's altars, because Abraham built many altars to God. As the Irish king and his people awoke on Easter morning, they could all see Patrick's defiance to the king and proclamation of the true light of Christ. He could not hide it. Patrick wanted to show the world that God's light shines in the darkness. You can read that in John 1, verse 4 and 5, and that Christ alone and no Druid deity deserves praise. That event marks the beginning of Ireland's conversion to Christianity. Legend says that even King Lungar eventually came to the faith. For centuries after that, it remained tradition in Ireland to light a bonfire on Easter morning in remembrance of St. Patrick's faith. Then in 1905, 1,500 years after St. Patrick lit a flame on Slane Hill, the forgotten hymn reemerged. Mary Elizabeth Byrne, a 25-year-old university student, rediscovered a copy of the 14th century poem, I should say 4th century poem, and translated into English for the very first time. In that moment, the now hallowed lyrics, "Be thou my vision, O Lord, my heart, not be all else to me. Not all. He wanted God to be all in all to him, save thou art mine. Now, we're going to hear some words that are a little bit different from the original poem. It sprang from the forgotten pages of time and into the modern world, and 8 million people have listened to this on YouTube. I want to just read the verses before Rachel plays this. Be thou my vision, O Lord, my heart. All else is nothing, save that thou art. Thou my best thought by day or by night, waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my wisdom and thou my true word, I ever with thee and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father and I, thy true Son, thou in me dwelling and I with thee one. Riches I heed not, I don't want the riches, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance now and always. Thou and thou only first in my heart. O King of glory, my treasure thou art. O King of glory, my victory won. Rule and reign in me till thy will be done. Oh, that's my prayer. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all. Here is Be Thou My Vision.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought by day or by night, waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my wisdom and thou my true word, I ever with thee and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, and I thy true Son, thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one. Oh, riches I heed not, nor vain empty praise. Thou mine inheritance now and always. Thou and thou only first in my heart. I King of heaven, my treasure thou.
That's my prayer, that God would be my vision. Sometimes when we think about vision or dream, we think of something on this earth that will make us feel fulfilled. But friend, it's God. God is my vision. I'm going to read this again. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. All else is nothing, save that thou art. Thou my best thought. He's my best thought. By day or by night, waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Oh, I thank God for people like St. Patrick's that was just totally devoted to God. Be thou my wisdom and thou my true word, I ever with thee and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father and I, thy true son and daughter. Thou in me dwelling and I with thee one. We run. We're one with God. Riches I don't need, I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance now and always, thou and thou only first in my heart. O King of glory, my treasure thou art. O King of glory, my victory won, rule and reign in me till thy will be done. And I know some of us are struggling in our bodies, in our souls, in our minds. But if we can say, not my will, but thine be done, and wait for that moment when God says, now, now. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all. Oh, and I want him to have everything. I think of that scripture in Isaiah 55. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk, without money and without cost. How much was your salvation? How much would you have paid for your salvation? It's priceless. You can't pay for your salvation. And we just put all these other things as so important. I got to get a Kleenex here. Oh, my goodness. Oh, we put so many other things as more important than our salvation. Come and buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why do you spend money for what is not bread? And why are your and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and delight yourself in abundance. I will make an everlasting covenant with you according to the faithful mercies shown to David. Behold, I have made him a witness to the peoples and a leader and commander for the peoples. And then God goes into this wonderful, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. God wants the wicked and the evil to come to him. He wants their heart as well, friend. We don't hate anyone at all. We bless them in the mighty name of Jesus for salvation. God bless you and keep you. It's been wonderful being with you. Take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.